This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So I'm sorry we're getting started a little bit late today. I hope you guys are still awake, inshallah, those of you that are in different parts of the world. Inshallah ta'ala, we're now on day 22 of Ramadan, and we're on juz 22 as well of the Qur'an. And I wanted to actually pick up from where I left off yesterday when we were talking about juz 21, because we didn't actually get a chance to get into Surah As-Sajdah. Surah As-Sajdah is actually part of juz 21, but just to sort of give you what's required to understand of it when you're looking at the next juz as it relates to the next juz, because there's quite a bit of overlap between Surah As-Sajdah and juz 22, even though it's at the end of juz 21. Surah As-Sajdah begins with this concept of no doubt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel al-Kitabi la rayba fihi min Rabbil Alameen. Very similar to the way that Surah Al-Baqarah begins. That this is the book that has been revealed from the Lord of the world, and in which there is no doubt whatsoever. Am yaqulun iftarah. They say that the Prophet ﷺ fabricated it. بَلْ هُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. You should say, rather, it is the truth from your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, to warn a people to whom no warner has come before you, so perhaps they will be guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is pretty much consistent through the different surahs that we're going to see within juz 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the authenticity of the book, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to call people towards Islam. Now, these next few surahs really focus on the role of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on anyone who wants to follow in the role of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just keep that in mind. So when you're talking about Surah As-Sajdah, first you have this tone that's been set. And the idea here is that there is no doubt whatsoever in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no doubt for anyone to cast on the integrity of the messenger or on the message itself. Realize that doubt is casted either on the message itself. So whenever people would attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'd either attack the message itself, or they would attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would try to attack his character. So there is no doubt in the message, and there is no doubt in the messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us in Surah As-Sajdah the way that a group of people, the way that the believers respond to this message in which there is no doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَسَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. So the ayah of sajdah, the ayah of prostration actually in Surah As-Sajdah, is that only those believe in our ayat and our verses and evidences who, when they are reminded of them, they fall down in sajda and they glorify the praises of their Lord, and they are not arrogant or boastful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. It's the last 10 nights of Ramadan, so this is actually a very crucial point. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. They arise from their beds, they forsake their beds, fighting with their sides as they forsake their beds at night. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. They call upon their Lord in fear and in hope. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from what we have provided to them, they spend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And so in verse 17, no person knows what is kept hidden from them of joy as a reward for that which they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the believers and how they have no doubt in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the reward that's been promised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they are up all night. They are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. They're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward. They're constantly calling upon him in fear and in hope because they have no doubt whatsoever in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, interestingly enough, Surah As-Sajdah ends with وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِنْ لِقَائِهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and certainly we gave Musa alayhi salam the scripture as well. So before you, Musa alayhi salam was given the scripture, so do not be in doubt. Now what that means is, just like Musa alayhi salam was given the book and Musa alayhi salam was doubted and Musa alayhi salam was called names and he was called a fabricator and so on and so forth, you too, Ya Rasulullah, will also be called that way. So you should not be in doubt of your own message, of the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, or the prospects of this message. And those that are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or those that are hearing the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should have no doubt whatsoever in his integrity and his authenticity and the authenticity of his message, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him to prosper as he did Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, with his scripture. The ulama differed about فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِنْ نِقَائِ. Do not be in doubt over your meeting with him. some of the scholars said, "Do not." It's that the muhatab, the one who's being spoken to, is not. It's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So either it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or it's the believers. If it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not be in doubt concerning your meeting with him. Is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa taala or the meeting with Musa alayhi salam that would take place in Al Isra wal Mi'raj? Because this is a Mecki surah that precedes Al Isra wal Mi'raj. So do not be in doubt, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about your meeting with Allah, and you will meet Musa alayhi salam as well. And at the same time, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has crafted for you a path of glory after hardship, as he did Musa alayhi salam, and for the believers as well. Of course, if we are the muhatab here, if we're being spoken to, do not be in doubt over our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling us to, which is belief in Allah and belief in the last day. But the point is that it ends off with Musa alayhi salam was doubted as well, right? The message here is that Moses was doubted as well. The end of Surah Al-Ahzab, which is the next surah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la takunu kalladhina adha Musa. O you who believe, do not be like those who harm Musa alayhi salam. So there's a connection between a sajda, the end of a sajda, and the end of Surah Al-Ahzab. So if we move on to Surah Al-Ahzab, which is the next surah, Al-Ahzab obviously referred to the confederates that surrounded Medina to massacre the Prophet ﷺ and the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory, gave the believers victory over all of these troops and all of these confederates that came from various tribes to plot against the Prophet ﷺ. Now Surah Al-Ahzab is interesting because these surahs are Mecki surahs. This bunch of surahs that we're talking about now, they're Mecki surahs. They were revealed in Mecca. Surah Al-Ahzab, the first half of it is Madani. It's a Medina surah. The first half of it is a Madani surah. Okay? So the first half is revealed in Medina. The second half, according to most of the scholars, is also Meccan. So the first half of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirina wal munafiqina inna Allaha kana 'aliman hakima wattabi' ma uhiya ilayka min rabbika inna Allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira. So O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, keep your duty to Allah and do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites, meaning don't follow the disbelievers or the hypocrites. Verily, Allah is ever-knowing and all-wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever with what you do acquainted. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And rely upon Allah, and sufficient is Allah as the disposer of your affairs. So the first few verses of Surah Al-Ahzab are a message to the Prophet ﷺ to just focus on the message that's been given to you. Do not pay attention to the doubters and to the haters and to those that will question you and cause you harm and so on and so forth. Just do your part. the thing that we realize about the first section of Surah Al-Ahzab is that it's really talking about the way that the Prophet ﷺ is to be dealt with and his family is to be dealt with in the Madani context. Once the Prophet ﷺ is the authority, he is the head of state in Medina, and there are certain rules that are being revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab. Amongst these rules, the rules of hijab, the rules of modesty, amongst these rules, how to address the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. So the right of the Prophet ﷺ upon you, as well as the right of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ upon you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 6, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. That the Prophet ﷺ is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. So his wives are our mothers in two ways. In the spiritual sense, obviously, they are our mothers. And in the technical sense, you know, with that, in regards to marriage, in regards to mahram status, which means that though they're not like our mothers in the way that our mothers are, meaning they still have to observe hijab from the believers. And in fact, there's an added layer of hijab, an added layer of modesty that's required for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, but they cannot be married after the Prophet ﷺ. So both in the spiritual sense, they are our mothers, and in the technical sense, there are mothers in the way that we cannot, that no one was allowed to marry the wives of the Prophet after he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the way that the believers were tested, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, again, some of the rules of the believing women as well, in the way that they speak, in the way that they carry themselves, in the way that the men carry themselves with the women, some of the administrative issues in Medina, now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually in charge. And subhanAllah, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just constantly clarifies the role of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in verse 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have a good example to follow. If you hope for your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, and if you remember Allah much. In Surah Al-Sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't be in doubt of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Ahzab here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you have hopes for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you hope to be amongst those that are favored and are rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that meeting, then the example to follow is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the goodness of the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you'll find throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning basically all of the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us. So for example, the command of salawat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That verily Allah and His angels, they send their prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who believe, send your peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even Allah and His angels send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who are you to not send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's role as the greatest example is clarified. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being most deserving of having salawat lavished upon him, prayers and peace and blessings lavished upon him, is clarified. The command of the Prophet ﷺ, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it is not befitting for a believing man or a believing woman if Allah and the Messenger ﷺ have judged in a matter, that they should have their say in something. Meaning what? The command to obey the Prophet ﷺ is also here. So the command of salawat, the command to follow his example, the command to obey him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies his position with the believers, that he's closer to you than your own selves. However, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He's not your father, but instead he is the messenger of Allah that's been sent to you and the seal of the prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you should turn your attention to obeying Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ obeyed Allah, to loving Allah the way that the Prophet ﷺ loved Allah. So trying to strive to be like the Prophet ﷺ. You need to move beyond an emotional attachment with the Prophet ﷺ and actually follow the Prophet ﷺ, follow his commands, follow his examples. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. O Prophet of Allah, indeed we have sent you as a witness upon the people, as one who bears glad tidings, and as one who carries the warning. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. And you are a caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are an illuminating lamp. You are an illuminating lamp. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. And give glad tidings to the believers that they have a great bounty waiting for them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُطَعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ. and do not pay attention to the insults and the abuses of the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and ignore them. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as a disposer of one's affairs. Now, this ayah is revealed particularly in regards to those who are mocking the marriage of the Prophet to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it's really interesting here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by necessity, if you are one who mocks the Prophet then you are a hypocrite. Only a hypocrite or a disbeliever would mock the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet to respond to those abuses with grace. Not to pay attention to them. Not to pay attention to the insults. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see you through those things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory over your opponents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify you from all of the slander and all of the taunting that's coming your way. If you focus too much on putting out the darkness, or if you focus too much on the darkness, then you're not going to be able to light up the room. So subhanAllah, you are sirajan munira. You are an illuminating lamp. You by your nature, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you light the candle. You know, they say don't complain about the darkness, but light the match or light the candle. I forget which one it is. But the point is that you are the light. So don't focus too much on the darkness. Focus on being that light. Da'adahum. Ignore their insults. Ignore their taunts. Ignore their slander. Tawakkal ala Allah. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. So it's how the Prophet ﷺ should respond to harm. And then subhanAllah, the end of the surah is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهًا. O you who believe, don't be like those who harmed Musa عليه السلام, who caused harm to Musa عليه السلام. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified him from the things that were being said about him. Just like you would purify the Prophet from the things that were being said about him. So vindication came to Musa Islam, and it would come to the Prophet and to the believers. So don't be amongst those people that would cause that harm to the Prophet and cause that harm to Musa السلام, and so on and so forth. So Surah Al-Ahzab really talks about the role of the Prophet with the believers, in every way whatsoever, and both at an administrative level, at an emotional level, from a mahram perspective, from a marriage perspective, from the perspective of following him, from the perspective of yielding to his judgment in our affairs, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these things, the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us, are clarified within the surah. So the next, the way that Surah Al-Ahzab ends, if you pay attention as well, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهًا, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah, and speak words of truth. Speak with righteousness. And seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, in this same context of being conscious of him, Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana zaluman jahula. This is really a beautiful transition because it will go into the next surah as well. Allah mentioned to us the responsibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the responsibility that we have to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Allah mentions our responsibility now, that Allah has given us, entrusted us with the amana, with the trust of the heaven, of the earth, and with the heavens, the earth, and the mountains. Basically, what that means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a position now where we have our own responsibility, we have our own obligation to that which is around us, and we have to be very careful not to be wrongdoers in regards to our own amana. So that the role of the Prophet ﷺ, the amana of the Prophet ﷺ was to deliver the message to all of us. The amana of each and every single one of us is that we are caretakers in our own capacity. Okay? It's been presented to us. حَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ. And by that, Allah would punish the rejectors and the hypocrites and so on and so forth. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept the repentance of the believing men and the believing women, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever forgiving and ever merciful. So the transition is from the role of the Prophet ﷺ to the role that each and every single one of us have with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. Now subhanAllah, the next surah, which is Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how different people deal with that responsibility and with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. So particularly Allah gives us three examples. The example of David, Dawood alayhi salam, the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the example of Saba, the example of Sheba. And so you have an example of two who received responsibility from Allah and they honored that responsibility. They received a trust from Allah and they honored that trust. They received many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were grateful for those blessings. They were not ungrateful. And so they fulfilled the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them. Then you have the third one, which is Saba, which is the opposite, right? Blessings were lavished upon them, and they did not do with those blessings what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do. So in verse 10, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا That we have given to Dawood alayhi salam grace from us. So we said, Ya Jibalu, we said to the mountains, Awwibi ma'ahu wa tayra wa alanna lahu al-hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we said to the mountains, glorify Allah alongside him. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have been given the responsibility as man collectively, as human beings, for the mountains and the earth and so on and so forth. So Allah commanded the mountains to glorify alongside Dawood alayhi salam, wat-tayr, and the birds around him as well. And we made the iron soft for him alayhi salam. So Dawood alayhi salam was given all these types of blessings so that he could make sabirat, that he could make these full coats of mail and calculate precisely the links. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا And work all of you deeds of righteousness. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ Indeed, I am all seeing of that which you do. So basically, Dawood alayhi salam was given these great blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his son was even given more blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهِ سُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And to Sulaiman alayhi salam, we have subjected the wind. It's morning journey, غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ That we have subjected to him the wind. Its morning journey was that of a month, and its afternoon journey was that of a month. And we made flow for him a spring of liquid copper. And amongst, basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the jinn who worked for Sulaiman alayhi salam, and all of the kingdom that was subjected to Sulaiman alayhi salam. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ That they do for Sulaiman alayhi salam whatever he wants to. مَا يَشَاءُ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different blessings here. So you realize it's very specific with the blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions مَحَارِيبَ وَتَمَاثِيلَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the chambers and the statues and the bowls like reservoirs and the kettles. And we said to the family of Dawood alayhi salam, David and Solomon, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور Work, O family of Dawood alayhi salam, acts of gratitude, and very few of my servants are actually grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Work, O family of David, Dawood and Sulaiman, acts of gratitude. Show gratitude with what's been given to you. And Allah is telling us here that an element of gratitude exists, and in fact, the greatest element of gratitude is doing with the blessings of Allah what Allah wants you to do with them. That's the greatest element of gratitude. Not just saying Alhamdulillah or being grateful in the heart, but doing deeds of gratitude with the amana, the trust that Allah has given to you, with the blessings that He's given to you. Work deeds of gratitude. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ And so few of my servants are grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions to us that لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَأٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ that there was that indeed for Saba there was a sign in their dwelling place. They had their gardens, They had their provisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had everything that was given to them as well. But because they did not do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do with those blessings turned into punishment for them. So it gives us the audiences here. Here's the amana. Here's the trust that's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ fulfilled his responsibility. Here's how people respond to the amana and respond to the blessings that have been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Saba focuses on the way that you respond to the amana and the blessings that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next surah is Surah Fatir, okay, which is the originator. And it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, as the originator. And the tone continues here. Man kana yuridu al-izza. Whoever seeks honor, whoever seeks power, whoever seeks glory, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave us these examples of people that are seeking the dunya and people that are seeking the akhirah. Allah gave us the example of people that use the blessings of this world to seek something higher, and those that to seek something lower. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, Man kana yuridu al-izza, whoever desires honor, power, glory, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all honor and power and glory. Meaning the only way that you would be able to receive any of that glory is that you do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. إِلَيْهِ يَصَعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala good words are raised. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ. And the righteous deeds, يَرْفَعُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates those deeds as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you're seeking glory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're seeking honor, if you're seeking goodness, then know that goodness and honor and power and glory only come from putting your efforts towards pleasing the one who is all deserving of glory and all deserving of honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 11, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from dirt, ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, and then from a drop of fluid, ثُمَّ جَعْلَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you pairs and mates. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنثَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no female conceives, nor does she give birth, إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ, except by the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِنْ مُعَمِّرٍ. No one is given, no aged person is granted an extended life, meaning no aged person has more years added to his lifespan or his lifespan lessened, إِلَّا فِي كِتَاب, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already registered it. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And that is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not difficult for Allah to do. So Allah is in control of your age. Allah is in control of your the way that you came into being. And Allah is in control of the way that you would leave this world and the way that you would be raised once again on the Day of Judgment. So you should seek that glory and that honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So verse 15, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O mankind, it is you who stand in need of Allah, but Allah is free of all need and worthy of all praise. This is very powerful that Allah mentions this here. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us this amana, did not give us the trust of the earth and the blessings that he's made available to us because he needs us to take care of these things or because he needs us to respond with obedience and so on and so forth. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all wants and needs and worthy of all praise. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. If he wills, he could destroy you and bring about an entirely new creation. وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And that is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah willed, he could do away with you all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bring about another creation that would do that which Allah has commanded them to do. Subhanallah, Surah Yasin, which is the last surah in this juz, Surah Yasin talks about that changing, talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing away with the people of Mecca, doing away with those that did not respond to their messengers, and preserving the reward of the messengers and preserving the position of the messengers. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. by the Quran, full of wisdom. Innaka lamina al-mursaleen. You are from the messengers, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether they doubt it or not, whether they call you a fabricator or not, whether they obey you or not, whether they insult you or they glorify you, you are from the messengers. Ala siratin mustaqim. And you are on the straight path. Tanzeel al-aziz al-rahim. This is a revelation sent by the Almighty and the Most Merciful. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Once again, what's already been said in the previous surahs, in order that you may warn a people whose forefathers were not warned and so they are heedless. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the word of punishment has proved true against most of them, so they will not believe. So most of them are not going to respond to the amana, to the trust that's been given to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment has been assured for them. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَثْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. Indeed, we have put shackles on their necks and they are to their chins, so they are with heads kept aloft, they are forced up. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have put before them a barrier. So in front of them a barrier, behind them a barrier. And we have covered them so that you cannot see them. So what is this referring to? The lack of ability of the people of Mecca to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to harm the believers as they were leaving now to Medina. So the punishment will come to them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course in the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see them. And the Prophet ﷺ would throw dirt at their faces and say, شَاهَتِ الْوُجُوهِ, these humiliated faces. They were unable to see the Prophet ﷺ or do any harm to the Prophet ﷺ, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed that barrier of protection for the Messenger ﷺ from all of these different directions. So this is the elevation of the Prophet ﷺ in this world, that the Prophet ﷺ would not be harmed in this world, that he would be protected in this world, and that his message would be supreme over those that wish to do him harm and over those that wish to stop him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us the story of the messengers as they came to a town and they said to the people, إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We sent them two messengers and they belied them both. So we reinforced those two messengers with a third. And they said, verily we have been sent to you as messengers. قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. They said, you are only human beings just like us, and the Most Merciful has not revealed anything. You are only telling lies. So basically the idea here that the Prophet ﷺ was denied. Musa ﷺ was denied. And قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. They said that our Lord knows that we are messengers to you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. The only responsibility we have is to deliver and convey the message plainly to you. And subhanAllah, this is interesting, because the Prophet ﷺ was told in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. That you've been sent as a caller, you've been sent as a warner, you've been sent as one who gives glad tidings, but all you are to do is give the call and not pay attention to those that reject. You're doing your job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here these messengers that also did their job. They also called upon the people. And when their people responded and they said, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, that if you don't stop, we're going to stone you and a painful punishment is going to come to you from us. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. The messengers responded and said, your evil omens be with you. Okay? إِن ذُكِرْتُمْ. Because you have been admonished, you have been reminded. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. But rather, you are a transgressing group of people. So the messengers did their job. They conveyed the message and they responded to the threats and they responded to the insults with grace. And the next Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That a man came from the farthest part of the town, reminding the people, O people, obey the messengers. So this is the messenger of the messengers. He says, listen to the messengers. He's doing his job. He obeyed the messengers and he's telling them, listen to the messengers. They're calling you. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. They're not asking you for wages for themselves and they are rightly guided. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. And why should I not worship the one who originated me? What was the surah before? Fatir, the originator. So why should I not worship the one who created me in the first place, who is the source of my origin? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And to whom you will be returned. Why would you not worship the one who created you from dirt and who created you from nutfa and so on and so forth? So it connects to Surah Fatir as well as Surah Ahzab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, of course, that this man, as he called upon his people, as he asked them to respond to the messengers, as he asked them to pay attention for no interest, no worldly interest. He was just fulfilling his amana. He was fulfilling his trust. What happened to him? They killed him. قِيلَ دِخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, enter into paradise. When he was killed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, enter into paradise. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ He said, oh, I wish my people would know about the forgiveness that my Lord has shown to me and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me from the honored ones. This shows you the heart of the da'i, the heart of the one who's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even though his people killed him, he wanted good for them. And he wished that they would know of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on and so forth. So these prophets and these messengers that are being mentioned to us, their role is being clarified. The followers of the messengers, their role is being clarified. How to do da'wah is being clarified. How to respond when your da'wah is not accepted, whether you're a messenger or a messenger of the messenger, is being clarified. And Allah's protection in this world, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا The barrier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between you and your enemies. So the protection in this world is clarified. And your entrance into Jannah is assured if you do your role and that is clarified. Okay, so if you do your job, قِيلَ دِخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ You would be told to enter into paradise as well. Even if you're not a messenger yourself, for being a messenger of the messenger, who called to obedience to that messenger, and the Lord who sent that messenger. So the roles of everyone have been clarified in this juz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how to focus, to be a source of light, not to concern ourselves too much with the darkness, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us, but we are in need of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and have mercy upon us and to make us amongst those who fulfill the amana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to forgive us for our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. So today's charity, yesterday our charity was Muhsin. Alhamdulillah, we almost reached our goal of $20,000. So we're at 15,000 plus. If you go to yesterday's video, you can actually donate, inshallah ta'ala. Let's get it to 20,000. Today's charity is actually Pious Projects. And Pious Projects, they build, mashallah, wells in Mali. And you might have seen, my little brother, Muhammad Ziyara, mashallah, who's done a lot of great work with that project, with Pious Projects, as well as the head of it, obviously, Fahima Arif. They're doing wonderful, tremendous work, mashallah, building wells. And building a well is one of the easiest ways to get yourself into Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned a woman who entered paradise by giving water to a thirsty dog. What then of constructing a well for poor people that you would never meet? But subhanAllah, you are a source of comfort for them and a source of life for them. So inshallah ta'ala, as soon as I finish and log off this video, I'm going to post the link to that charity as well, inshallah ta'ala. So please do contribute to it, bidnillahi ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'll see you all tomorrow, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.